Well, hello. Oh,
hello.
Nice to see you. Welcome to the Hot Flush, the premier podcast for the perimenopausal. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Woog, and my very dear friend,
Mrs. Berry.
And do you know she's got a new oven?
Hey, everyone, I've got a new oven.
We're going to give her 60 seconds. Go.
It's a Westinghouse. It's a 19 centimetre. They call them a dual fuel because they have gas on the top and it's electric oven. Freestanding. And do you know they call them cookers? Like, they don't cook because it's got a stove and an oven, so they just call them a cooker, which I always equate with World War II England. And yeah, it's the shizzle. I am in love.
And I must say, I partook in some bounty that sprang henceforth from said cooker.
Yes.
Last night I had a what was it?
It was a standing rib roast.
And it was delicious.
It was so good.
It was
oh my
delicious.
God, I have basically yelled at anyone all day today about going near it because we're having it for leftovers for dinner tonight. And I'm like, if you eat it now, then I'm going to have to make something tonight. I don't want to make something tonight.
I'm not making anything tonight because I've resigned.
You've resigned?
I've resigned.
Is this a long-term resignation or is this just at least a good 24 hours?
My kids.
I know.
Okay, so we went...
What was the mistake?
Oh, okay. The mistake was taking them both to do the grocery shopping.
That is just... You learn that when they're, like, toddlers.
I know. I don't know. I think because Mr. Woog had a little hangover last night, because he always does when he goes to your house.
I know. And every time he comes to our house, then he goes home going, I'm never going back there again.
And I thought, oh, well, you know, get them out of the house and give him a chance to have a little break. And to my own personal detriment... I actually did pull one of them up into a corner, like a shirt-fronted situation.
Oh, you and said, you Tony Abbott-ed
him. If you don't fucking stop this, they are entitled, they are whingy, they are like in year 9, year 11. Like, we're not talking
about... they're teenagers, Wooks. That's what teenagers are.
Oh,
entitled, whingy, bickering, ungrateful fucks. That's what they are. That's what teenagers are.
But, like, I just want to say really bad things to them.
Yeah.
Things that I will later regret and things that they will hang on to for their whole lives.
Yes.
And they'll end up going to counselling about.
Yes,
because
yes.
I've told them that you're a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I did what most psycho mums do. Yeah. I did the silent treatment.
Yes. Nothing more terrifying than a silent mother.
Or crying mother.
Well, crying is good. I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
So you know how there's a situation with one of your children where they want to do something and you don't want them to do it?
Yeah.
And that there is a big divide between you and Mr. Woog about the importance of this act.
Yeah.
Right? He thinks we should let him do it, like it's his own
body.
It's only his own body, and really, what's the harm?
Yeah.
And he'll, you know, probably end up taking it out after, you know, 2 weeks or something anyway. Whereas Mrs. Woog is in the camp of over my fucking dead body, and if you endorse him doing this, you will be served divorce papers. So there's a little bit, it's a little bit, I would almost say it's Minnesota police versus the entire black population of the entire world. And so we were talking about this, and then later on, Rob was very worried about this after you guys had left, right? You know, he's just going, what, you know. I said, no, I've been thinking about it. I'm going to talk Woog through it because she's got to completely change her ploy. And he's like, what has she got to do? And I said, she's just got to lay on the maternal guilt. And he went, what? And I said, she's got to stop.
This episode is juicy already.
And I said, she's got to stop with the over my dead body, I don't like it, and sit him down and say, you know when, and then pull up an incident where he has been deeply traumatised or someone's done something to him that he was either shocked by or that he didn't, he'd asked them not to do it and then he did it.
Yep.
So one of the 50 incidences between him and his brother in the last 3 days, right? And so you pull up one of those incidences and you say, you know how that made you feel? That you doing this, that's how that's going to make me feel. And Rob just looked at me and just went, that is terrible. And I went, yep. That is the mother power.
Welcome to motherhood, hey?
Yeah, so that's what you've got to, stop going, I don't like it. And you have to have a quiet conversation with him, not with anyone else, and say, I know that you want to do this. And, you know, I appreciate that. And I really am 100%, you know who I am in terms of it's your body and it's yours to control and to do. But I need you to understand where I'm coming from for this. Mm. And, you know, when this makes you feel like that, that's how you're going to make me feel. and you, what, he will crumble like people turn to salt with whoever it was that turned and looked at them and turned them into salt in the Bible.
Well, you know how I've given them the silent treatment.
Who
right
did turn
now
them all to salt?
I don't know.
Was it Joe?
Anyway, I've given them all the silent treatment and done a storm around.
You don't. You haven't responded. Would you do it like that?
Yes, I would. That's very sensible. Thank you, Kim. Yeah. So I've sort of done the silent treatment and they're sort of all skating around me now because they know that I'm on the fucking warpath. This is so enlightening, isn't it, everyone?
But guess what we just did to just, like,
ate two cheeseburgers each.
Yeah, I bought cheeseburgers over for everyone and we just ate them all.
And I said, no, they don't deserve it.
They don't deserve them.
I will have that other cheeseburger. and anyway, so I'm storming around the house and I see Jack go and cut some flowers and I thought, oh, he's going to put them in a vase next to my bed. No, they're in his room.
Do you know what? I had a chat when Mr. Wig and I were chatting last night and we were talking about boys, right? And he goes, Kim, we're really stupid. We don't get any form of sense until mid-20s, probably 30. And he goes, and even then we're still stupid. Like, we just are.
Yeah.
And it's like, they just... I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry, that's a bit of a downer. Gosh, and speaking of downers, God, this weekend has been very, very, very worrying, hasn't it, with what's going on in America.
So
we're not going to really talk about it too much, but
no,
concerns me.
It's hugely concerning. Completely.
No,
because I'm wanting to find something. It is concerning, obviously. The problem for me in all of this is the country doesn't have a leader.
No.
Or leadership that is going to galvanise this into actual change. And...
because he's fucking insane.
The whole, everything from the start of his, when he first started campaigning, was this country is going to descend into anarchy. And here it is.
Mm.
And it just, there's some things that have been playing on my mind since this all started coming out. And a lot of stuff is now happening on Twitter and coming across on Insta. And I've been putting them into my Insta story feed because I want us all to be very cognizant of this, that what the black population in America is large and visible. The indigenous population in Australia that experiences racism and discrimination beyond the pale is not as big. So it's a small population. So there are plenty of us who will go our entire lives and never meet or know anyone with who is Aboriginal or has an Indigenous background or heritage. But we really need to... we're sitting here looking at America just going, this is terrible, and those people have been... and look at their police and all of this stuff. And 400 Aboriginal people have been killed in custody in Australia... murdered in custody in Australia since the Royal Commission into deaths in custody, and not one police officer has ever been charged.
Oh, that just makes me ill.
400. So... We need to make sure that our horror at what we're seeing happening in the US, that we turn that light onto us and our systems and our structures and actually start getting as vocal about it as everyone in our group and so many more people are getting around domestic violence and the safety and security of women.
Yeah.
Gosh,
and that's been heartbreaking this
week
as well.
It's just been untold. So there was something else. So that Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody was in 1991.
Yes, I remember.
I was at uni. I wrote off to get and got sent the report, and I kept it for years, and because I couldn't read it all in one go because it was so devastating in its content.
Oh.
And that was in 91.
And I mustn't spend the day sitting there watching CNN because it's not good for me.
No, don't
do
that.
I worry. And then I didn't.
Yeah.
Then I turned to my loving family for some beautiful comfort.
Comfort.
And
and instead you end up Tony Abbotting one of them in the supermarket.
I was thinking, I hope no one's seeing this that listens to The Flush. my fine moment. But speaking of fine moments, we did have a request this week to bring back the booze reviews.
The booze reviews!
So I have prepared...
Oh. Yes, go on.
Is yours quick? I think you're just going to run with it now, aren't you?
Yes. Okay. So I interviewed some guys who had come from a background in the alcohol sector. They worked at Pernod Ricard and various other sort of places. And they are developing a new... So the big trend for this summer is going to be hard seltzer, which is alcoholic soda waters. So the thing with alcoholic soda waters is they're really low sugar. And they, they're really low sugar. I've tasted a few of them out of, you know, just for my job, and they're not great. They're sort of, I mean, but you're literally drinking it going, well, it's alcoholic, but it's got less sugar in it. I mean, seriously, guys, it's alcohol. It's not good for you. Let's stop. That's like saying, but this cigarette's got an extra double filter on it. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Okay, well, with having said that.
So anyway, I was talking to them. Just listen. And I said, you know that there's a whole market for this, don't you? Like that you're not going to be targeting. And they sort of laughed and went, because these guys are like 100 years at Pernod Ricard, they're filthy rich, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they sort of laughed and go, oh, who? And I said, menopausal women.
Yeah.
And they did actually go, oh, yeah. And I went,
why haven't you approached them to become part of the game?
Guys, they're going to send us some stuff. Like one, it's still not even in shops or anything yet. They're still, you know,
building
it. I know, right? It's called Fella. F-E-L-L-R. And, they're going to... Anyway, and I said, guys, there's all these people out... There's all these women.
Thirsty
women.
Because that's why wine...
All we want is a drink.
Yeah, but what, not wine, because it's so acidic. You want something that's
fresh,
cold and flavourful.
Cold
anyway,
and fresh.
There you
and
go.
And I said, and also lots of sugar and alcohol. Like, we can't drink it because we get really hot.
There you go.
Hear that? Opening a coldie.
Oh, that, we've missed doing these. Why did we stop? Okay, have a sniff.
Ooh. Oh, I don't mind the smell of that. It smells limey. Okay, it tastes a little bit like fancy lemonade.
Okay, and the unveil, please.
It's a hard seltzer.
It's just what you were talking about.
Okay, we did not know that. No, she did not know.
So that's why I was interested when she started talking about the hard seltzer. So this is a Good Tides hard seltzer. It's Australian sparkling water blended with triple distilled vodka O, which is my favourite vodka.
Oh, really?
And with a hint of natural lemon lime flavour. Nothing but Good Tides. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners, and only 85 calories per can.
Yeah, right. And this is their whole thing, that they're all... And, oh, see that? I had to suck in air. It's... The thing with them is going to be that they've all got the same thing. They've got low sugar. They've got no artificial anything. So it's going to really come down to branding and who likes what brand.
Well, oh, I like that. I would drink that.
But this is the thing, right? Imagine this in a glass, a big glass with lots of ice and another wedge of lime. I'd just sit on these all afternoon until I fell off the chair.
Flush approved.
Flush approved. Good time. Good times with Good Tides.
I wonder if they've got a handle I can send.
Can we also take a moment to look at how spectacular my hair currently is?
Yes, she's got a mohawk happening, a traditional
fucking
mohawk.
I love it. It makes me feel badass, which, of course, I once said to Felix about me growing my underarm hair, and then he laughed and told me that I was as badass as, I don't know, you know, nothing. Like
that's like when Horatio, who's like, what, 6'2", white rugby playing boy from the North Shore, walks around the house like with his like gangster rap music. I'm like, you are such a tryhard.
Just listen to
not liking him at the moment.
Just listen to Justin Timberlake and just be done with it.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm going into the office on Tuesday.
Well, I like that drink.
They're nice, aren't they? They're just really fresh. They kind of taste, for listeners, they kind of taste a bit like a fancy lemonade.
But not sweet.
But not particularly sweet. So that it's
good. It
tastes
like mineral water.
Actually, yeah, it's a bit like a mineral water.
Yeah, with lemon and lime.
Yeah.
Which is what it's actually...
got in it.
Yeah. Fuck. Tell us about going to the office. What are you going to wear?
Oh, I'll just wear one of my black dresses, you know. I'm going to take in some brownies. Everyone's just like, will there be baked goods? But it's the first time we all would have seen each other since the 4th of April.
Far out.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
I'm really looking forward to it. We're just doing like a short day.
Do you know? June. What? June.
Yeah, I know. June tomorrow, first day of winter.
Fuck. Apparently someone sent me a message saying on the first episode of The Flush this year, I said, bring on 2020.
I know. Do you remember?
I take that back.
Do you remember we were both so excited about the year ahead? Come on, idiots.
It's been the most fucked thing ever.
Fucked thing ever. But guess what? Guess what tomorrow is on the 1st of June?
What?
4-year anniversary.
4-year anniversary.
Of me and Rob.
Lovely.
Which is pretty hilarious because if you go back to the beginning of the hot flush, that was just after we got together, like, and I do is talk about sex, and then there was at one point when Woogsy left the room, and I think it goes for about 9 minutes, might be 7, but I'm pretty sure it's 9.
Did you just blow by blow?
No, I just was sitting here going, he's so lovely. Oh, I can't believe, like it just went on for like, and my friend Bronwyn has not listened to it since. Because she was just like, oh, Kim, it's ridiculous. It's just silly. It's just silly. That's her catchphrase.
Well, congratulations, darling.
So 4 years and one year of him living with us.
Oh, wow.
Because he moved in officially on the 1st of June.
Have you ever had a fight?
No. No.
Have you ever had a disagreement?
No. Oh, well, we come at things sometimes from a different angle, but it's never like...
Like, you don't go and slam everything around and then get in the car and squeal off down the road like a mad woman thinking, where am I going?
No.
I don't do that either.
No, we don't ever really fight.
Okay, well, that's boring then.
Yeah, and then yesterday so probably Grovy's probably the loudest and the most in-your-face out of all of the kids, apart from Oscar. And so I think he's the one that... So Rob sort of notices him and his behaviour and stuff the most. And you know how you have snark about your kids?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and yesterday,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And then yesterday he sort of said, and he goes, and he said, and I said, gosh, you're snarky today. And he went, is it too much? And I went, yeah. And that's the first ever.
Wow.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, and then he was like, right, okay. And then later he said to me, I'm so glad that you can tell me.
Yeah.
That, you know. And, yeah, so that was that.
It's called a healthy relationship.
And then we talked about it last night after you guys had left, and he said, you're right. It's because he's the loudest and the most noticeable, and so he's the one that you know. And can we just notice that, like, he hasn't had kids. Yeah. Like, this is his first foray, and he got 4 of them in one go. And a mother-in-law.
4 teenage boys.
And the mother-in-law.
Is he on medication? Because no one would sign up for that.
He drinks beer. And I'm like, and you know, I sort of at one point was like, do you think, like, I'm going to try not to drink on weeknights. And, you know, what do you think about that? And he goes, yeah, that's not happening. And I was like, actually, just.
Yeah, you.
You are entitled.
Off you go.
So yesterday I baked my first cake, which I have a slab of for you at home.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, you forgot it?
Yeah, I did forget it, sitting on the kitchen bench.
What sort of cake was it?
It's a coconut passion fruit slice cake that is out of the latest book by the Monday Morning Cooking Club women. And I made it yesterday. It's obviously got coconut in it.
I'm going to hazard a guess. It might have passion fruit too.
It has passion fruit icing. Oh my God.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Passion fruit icing is just the best. And anyway, and so Mum came downstairs and was just like, oh, you know, that looks nice. And I said, yeah, it's a coconut passion fruit cake. And she was, oh, I've tasted that. And then this morning she came down and she said to me, she goes, oh, I felt really sick last night, and sick on the tummy when I got up this morning, and you know, and I knew exactly what she was doing. And then, and so I went, oh, what did you have for dinner? And I just had some chicken and corn soup, you know, what was in the cake? And I just knew. Like, and I went, she goes, what's that? And I said, coconut. And she goes, yes, I could feel the coconut. What the ever living fuck.
How can you feel the coconut?
And then as soon as she sort of said feel, she knew, like, that was, you know, she sort of went, oh, you know, I could taste the coconut. I couldn't finish it. I ate the icing. But this is like, I mean, God love her, but yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, yeah, it made me sick, but that's lovely.
Look, I kind of get that because I can look at things like, you know, those cheeseburgers we just ate. I know that's going to come out and kick me in the ass in about an hour.
Yeah.
But so I kind of get them. I had some time with Mum this week as well. She's quite funny. And Jenny, her friend, they look the same. They dress the same. They're quite trendy. But we started down at Military Road and we parked the car and we're going to walk up Military Road. Yeah. Not Military Road. You know, that main road in Mossman with the shops.
Yeah, Military Road.
Anyway, up there, down the other. And lots of vacant shops.
Oh, how surprising.
Yeah. And so we'd walk a couple of blocks and Mum would run back and get the car and move the car up. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, it's just, you know, that's too far to walk back. I didn't understand the logical reason behind it. And then I just thought, I'll just leave it because I don't understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, when she went to pay for her stuff three times using her Qantas frequent flyer card.
Oh, God. It's going to be us one day. I know. You know that. You know, don't you?
I can see it sooner rather than later as well.
We'll just be offering up our, you know, health, like, yeah, a health insurance card, and then I'm sorry, this doesn't work here. What? Oh, I've used that everywhere. And then they, oh no, it's like, right, no, yeah, it's my,
anyway, my Bupa card. Apparently, I walk too fast as well.
Well, they're getting old.
Yes.
This is really confronting for us, is they're getting old.
I know.
Mum's like a chicken wing. It's not good.
Not good.
No.
And she's a bit of a fattest.
God, she really is. Yeah. She's a total fattest.
Fattest is someone who shames fat people.
Yeah. And Felix was quite...
The coin was turned from my neighbour about 10 years ago called Peter, who asked me when I was due.
Yes.
And I wasn't pregnant.
Yes. Mum was the one that put a hand on Woogs' stomach at Oscar's birthday and said... something like, that's not the good fat, or something. Something really appalling.
Yeah.
She'd known her for like 30 seconds.
That was very funny.
And she's like, oh, you're okay. Oh, you're Woogs. And then just sort of stood there and gave her a hug and then sort of stood back, but had that half hug and then the hand just on your tummy.
Right on my guts and just pointed out that wasn't a healthy way to be.
That wasn't a healthy fat.
And I said, thank you. Nice to meet you. You should be so proud.
Although, you know, we do look forward to the day of... being able to just say that sort of shit and get away with it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nothing really offends me anymore.
You know, there was at one point when she was thinking Felix was anorexic but when he was in high school and he was a chonk, like she was just all about, you know, he's got to lose weight. He's got to lose weight. He's got to lose weight. Then there was the whole gym joining fiasco of like 2018. And then where she signed him up. And she said to me, she goes, I'm going to pay for his gym. And I said, oh, that's really nice. Because he has actually been talking about once he finishes school, like gets the HSC over with, that's something he'd like to do. And then it was like water torture. She just drip, drip, drip at him the whole time about, when are you going down to do it? When are you going down to do it? When are you going down to do it? And I was getting madder and madder and madder. And Felix was just shutting down, shutting down, shutting down. And then eventually she somehow sort of dragged him down there and did it. And he didn't go once. And then she was just like, I'm just wasting money. I went, yeah, you are. Because I'd said to her, he has to do it on his terms.
Yeah.
He has to do it when he's ready. You go and sign him up and you can lead a horse. Like, he won't go.
Mm.
And she just went and did it anyway.
And the funny thing about teenage boys, since I know to be true, is that they tend to chunk up and around then 13 and 14. And you look at them and you're like,
yes.
I go look back at photos of Harry and say, oh, God, I didn't say anything. And then they just go,
yeah.
Like, so they store up for the winter.
Yeah.
Just before their growth spurt.
That's exactly what Grover's doing that at the moment.
Yeah. And Jack's doing it at the moment as well.
Yeah. Grover's just this little sort of chonk.
Yeah.
And you watch, he'll do exactly the same. Jasper did it. Felix sort of stayed in that chonk land for a bit longer. Yeah. But now he's 6'2".
Yeah.
And a hottie.
Well, Jack's tracking to get bigger than Harry, which will make murder ball and other games in this house interesting.
Now,
what was the highlight of your week? What was good? I've got to tell you what the highlight of my week was: listening to last week's podcast.
We were on fire last week.
Very, very funny.
That's sort of the benchmark, really.
I think it was the bottle of Verve that you brought over.
You think
that? And we hadn't seen each other for a while.
We hadn't seen each other for 8 weeks. A bottle of Verve and a cheeseburger Happy Meal. No, it was a large cheeseburger meal.
Jeez, we're gonna get into the habit of doing that.
I know that's not good. I was coming over earlier today, but then when Jasper finished his shift at Macca's, and it was like, oh, I'll come, I'll shift, let's shift it, and I'll come after that because then I can pick him up. And she went, oh, bring me the cheeseburger. And I went, that I will. It's the only encouragement I need. What did we have for, like, after the beautiful standing rib roast last night and beans and
glass potatoes
and
gravy.
Gravy.
Homemade gravy.
What did we have for dessert? What did I slave over a hot stove for dessert?
Sundays from Macca's.
That is correct.
Because someone had to be picked up from Macca's. So, again, I jump on that opportunity and said, why don't we get some Sundays?
Yeah, we all had Sundays for dessert. It was delicious. It was hilarious. Oh, Felix is ringing me. That's curious. He must start work soon. Oh, well. Can you drive me? No, you have to get grandma to drive you. She drives like a bat out of hell. When do you have to go start going for a driver's license test again? What age? Is it 80?
For Reese's experience, I would say 72. Honestly. And then she got flustered because someone called her, like, you're a fucking dickhead. Road rage. Because she almost, like, catastrophically crashed twice. So I would say 72, but I don't know. It is quite controversial because it's a really sensitive subject for a lot of people.
It is a bit. And a lot of elderly people, that's how they see their work, like for all of us.
To be able to drive, to do something. To be able to
your independence and your social stuff. And
your lunches.
But, you know, if you're going to fucking kill someone, then, you know, you kind of need to not do it anymore.
No, that's right. I think you just got to keep your eye on your parents and just sort of.
Mum was always a very aggressive driver. And so an aggressive driver at 76 is, it's. You got to gird your loins.
What was your best thing for this week?
Well, obviously the stove going in. Mm-hmm. That was very exciting.
We're not talking about that. There are a group of flushes that want you to do a separate podcast.
I know. So I think really that was probably my highlight, was the oven going in. Yeah. What was yours? What did you already say?
Yeah, listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast. There has to have been something else.
No, there was. On Thursday, for the first time, my Real Housewives of East Linfield got together and had lunch. Because Mrs. O'Kelly, the lush from the deli, she bought a house just before COVID went down, and it's a beautiful big Art Deco house. None of us had seen it. So she threw a lunch, and we've all turned up there. Started at 12. I left at 5, and it was still going. And just having some time with my friends. I haven't realized how much I need my friends. And, you know, having spent time with you last weekend as well, that's been really difficult. And oh my God, we laugh. We did not stop. We had tears. We solved world problems. We solved family problems. We solved medical problems. You know, and they're such a pack of odd bods.
Yeah.
And you've met them. There's wise owls and there's silly sausages and there's, one of them who we were doing canteen with, and the four of us were doing canteen. She goes, do you mind if I go now? Because I've got to go to a threesome. And we all go, yeah, no worries. It's Valentine's Day. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not normal. But you could say, turn up at any of their door and hand them a bag with, like, a someone's bloodied head in it.
Yeah.
Say, can you put this somewhere for me? And then would you mind driving me to Muscle Rock? And they would go, yep. And they would not even question you.
Why Muscle Brook?
Oh, I don't know. It just came up.
Oh, my God. Why would Muscle Brook be the first place that came up in your head? That's weird. But you're right. The seeing your friends and that sitting, just a rolling afternoon like that of just conversations moving and flowing and back to that and then forward to that and laughing and crying.
And laughing, it's until you actually think you're going to die. Like, you're actually not getting any oxygen.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an afternoon of that, and it was just, it was better than any happy pill. It was better than any shrink session. It was better than anything. So if you haven't done it already, can you please do it ASAP? Get together with some of your friends, but not drama queens. No. I don't have drama queens. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I just can't do it.
You don't? No, there's
sort and of bitchy people. Like, clever and witty people.
Yes.
But, you know, just people that don't love me, basically. And trust you, there's people out there who don't, but they don't know me.
No, they don't know you.
No.
No.
They just make assumptions.
Yes.
don't talk to her, you'll end up on the blog. That's what they used to say when I first came to East Linfield.
Oh, and now they beg to be on the blog.
Oh, no, they don't. A lot of them won't talk to me for a long time.
Hey.
Yeah.
Should we go into readers' questions?
Oh, gosh. Righty-o.
Oh,
yes. We're going to have a quick break first, and then we'll come back.
A quick breakfast?
Breakfast. Breakfast. Look, two sips of Good Tides hard seltzer. We're going to have a quick break, and we'll see you with your questions. And we're back to our favourite part of the podcast, when we delve deep into the comment section of what's on your mind. If you haven't joined the Hot Flush Facebook page,
then you're just an idiot.
And you probably use a whore pillow.
Yes, you've probably got a whore pillow. Oh my god.
Okay.
I'm still laughing about my absolute just that. Like that. God, 101 comments this week.
I know.
Ladies.
I probably won't get through them all, but let's go. Okay. Yeah, your podcast is the highlight of my week. And I wrote, "We all keep." And she went, "I'm definitely keeping you both." And then someone else, Michelle, says, "I completely agree. It was almost the best one ever."
Well, you listened to it 3 times. You were so convinced it was.
Okay. Again, does anyone take anxiety medication?
Does anyone not?
Positives and negatives. I can honestly tell you with my hand on my heart that my group of Real Housewives that I had lunch with on Thursday, most of us would take an antidepressant of some kind.
Mm.
The pros are you don't want you get up and function.
Yeah. You don't want to top yourself. You can actually leave the house without having a nervous breakdown. You can actually be in a shop without having a nervous breakdown. You can actually sort of think about things before you say something that's highly inappropriate or offensive.
Yes. And it also is helpful because as you get older and the stretchability of your temperament becomes less.
Right.
You know, you get irritated easily.
Yeah.
If you do it, I can highly suggest that you do it arm in arm with a bit of cognitive behavioural therapy or some sort of counselling.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone and most people I know do.
So Kay then goes on to talk about the fact that she has complex PTSD and anxiety, anorexia and autism as well as depression.
Yeah, so... Yeah, okay, we're going to pass you over to the medical fraternity for that.
That's right. You've been taking Valium, but that's not really helping very much. Well, I do remember at one point when I was in a very bad way and I had not seen my psychiatrist for some time and I'd had some Valium, you know, that I'd had from a previous episode and I was taking those and I saw him and said, "I've been taking them some Valium." And he goes, "How much?" And I can't remember, like 5 milligrams or something. And he goes, "You'd be better off eating Tic Tacs." And he whacked me on some pretty good drugs, which then with seeing him and a lot of cognitive behavior therapy and a lot of behavioral changes as well in what I was doing have resulted in where I am now.
And you're also really good at getting some behavioral therapy because it helps you to immediately challenge any negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Kind of reset your brain.
Yeah.
So.
And also, if you're not, can I really highly recommend downloading a meditation app. Everyone talks about doesn't matter which one. I'm using Headspace and I've actually done the paid one. And I've always poo-pooed it and I finally have started doing it basically since I got really sick with the great gut ache of 2020. And I
was that 2019 or 2020?
No, 2020. That was the beginning of April.
Throw that in too.
That was the beginning of April.
God, you've been through the ringer this year. We're still here.
And I just cannot highly recommend it enough. It really works. I was such a naysayer of it, but it's really good.
Okay, Julia, I'm going to just jump down.
Ah, new oven.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. Okay, I like this. I really, really, really like this comment because I really feel it. Something's wrong with me. I bought a mail order soda bread starter today. I'm pumping out handmade pasta by the kilo. And if you put something down to scratch yourself, I'll turn it into a soup. I'm also ready to take anyone out, though. Tonight I was rubbing Goanna inflammatory cream into my son's sore back. His dad wandered past and said something vaguely annoying, and I immediately pictured rubbing that stinky hot cream into his eyeballs. Oh, you're my spirit animal.
It's so true. We're like these domestic goddesses that then become homicidal maniacs.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
'Tis the season.
No, we're not talking about the
Stephanie oven.
No.
Yeah, I did actually put a big comment there for everyone to enjoy.
No.
Ruth, yes, we do need to talk about an oven and compost combo potty. I need people to talk to me about how they compost.
No. Jane says, I'm a long way behind in listening to the potty from January 1 where Mrs. Woog uttered the immortal words, bring on 2020.
Marianne talks about teens with depression.
Okay, let's talk about that.
And I think they're twins. So she's got a double whammy of She has twins who identify as gender fluid, and they're 14. And every time we try and pull them up on something, they dissolve into tears. They are rude and ungrateful, and we are exhausted.
Oh, God, I hear you.
Oh, it's so true.
One of mine has had a sort of a decent battle with anxiety when he was younger. And again, I jumped on that pretty quickly with some professional help. And I just think that sometimes you can't do it on your own.
No.
You can't do it because you need support as the person who is dealing with them from day to day. You actually need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
Because that stuff can drain the living shit out of you. Double that with the depression and being just naturally an arseholic 14-year-old.
Yes.
Can you just get some support? Kids Helpline is a really great place to start. They have a section for parents, but talk to your doctor because you got a lot going on.
She's doing, and do you know what, Marianne? You're actually really on top of this. You have got kids who are comfortable enough in their gender identity to do that. You have got them like on medication. You have got them, you obviously have them, you obviously have some professional help in there.
But you actually sound like you need a physical break.
Yeah. Like, it's okay to just reach a point and go, fuck, I'm tired.
Yeah, and just a couple of days away, if you can manage to do it, it just not, resets your...
Yeah, but it's also... So years and years ago when I think I only had Oscar, and the scientist in WA, the female scientist who ended up getting the Nobel Prize for it, who discovered the ends of our chromosomes...
Overachiever.
Called telomeres... That's what's the ending on all of our chromosomes, is this thing called telomeres. And as we age, they wear down. And other environmental factors can also wear them down. And the group that had the most wear on their telomeres out of anyone in the population, from someone who's in the army on a war front to anyone, politicians...
Mothers?
Were parents of children with disability. Oh, was okay. Mothers yep. of children with a disability.
Yeah.
So she then did another whole study on ways to reduce the impacts of that stress on that cohort, because she said, "This like these women are just carrying the world,
yeah.
and this is not good enough. Like that they're it left is. To do it.
It
and,
can be absolutely exhausting.
And do you know what was the most effective thing to help reduce the stress in these women?
Gin.
Getting together with other women.
Yeah. And that's what we do. That's why we come here.
And it's like, Marianne, I don't know where you live. I hope you have a really good, strong support network. But find your tribe and get together with those women. And it might even be a support group for people with gender fluid kids or with other identifying kids. Or it doesn't matter. You just need to find that outlet.
Because
that once a week you can go somewhere. You can laugh, you can cry, you can have a cup of tea or coffee, or you can have a drink, whatever it is, but you can get together with people, not with sort of just as you.
Yeah. And that's what, when I was going through the Shepherd Centre with Jack when he was a baby for the first 5 years, it was my lifesaver.
Yeah.
Every Thursday we had play group, so we had it like...
Yep.
And then they had volunteers, so the volunteers would come and take the babies and the kids away, and then we were sort of put up in this room, someone fetched us coffees, and it was just nourishment.
Yeah, and that's it. And it doesn't matter that... It doesn't matter if they're 2 or 10 or 6 or 14. Like, you are at the coalface and you are doing a fucking hard job.
And a good job.
So give yourself... Yeah, and doing by the mere effort of what you've said here, a fucking good job at it. So just find, eke out that group, find that tribe, get together, go out to dinner or have a coffee, anything, and just take that moment.
Yeah. Kirsten, over the last three podcasts, I have to say thank you. Between the support of this group, thank you everyone, and listening that everyone has been on a roller coaster has made me feel somewhat normal. You ladies are freaking amazing, and if I could sponsor you, if I would. Thank you. Heather Clark, I love my something oven. I'm not speaking about that. And I also can't remember how to put makeup on. I totally understand that. I put some makeup on the other day, and I like my mascara was like dry and I ended up looking like, and I tried to do some contouring.
Oh my God.
I know. I didn't even bother like last night.
I don't even know how you do that.
Jack taught me, but I've forgotten. But the other problem I'm having is, Kim, is that I can't really see much. So I just sort of put a bit of powder on and have a crack, you know, somewhere in the eyelids.
Oh
push,
my
smash
God.
A little bit of colour. And I've got purple eyeshadow now. That's when you know you're getting old.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And not even like I'm talking.
Mauve.
No.
Lilac.
Like, no. Like, dark, deep purple.
Oh. That's a smoky eye, though.
Apparently it goes nice with brown eyes. Or so that lady told me. Heather, don't worry about it. No one's looking at us anyway.
I've decided. Well, Thursdays are my dress-up day because that's the day I have to do my video thing for work. But I also have decided last week that I'm going to get dressed as if I'm going to work every day now because I miss wearing my work. I miss wearing my work clothes. I miss wearing my dresses. I'm sick of just being in a soft pant. Isn't that weird?
Yes, that's strange.
Did you know that I'm in jeans today?
Very nice.
That they fit?
Very good.
They didn't fit for 12 months.
Oh, mazel tov.
Yeah, I know. The great gut ache of 2020. Delivered.
The cheeseburger's just going to fill it back up again.
Yeah.
Okay, Bronwyn. Oh, gosh. Everyone's in the same boat. Kids have had way too much screen time during lockdown.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
And we battled homeschooling.
Doesn't matter.
And working from home now. We are really struggling to get kids off the iPads now. They seem to have forgotten how to entertain themselves. Anyone in the same boat?
I'm really sorry. I just don't care. Like,
just let them
it's do. Just, it is so, do you know what? Yep, read all of the scientific papers about how this is killing this generation's ability to read books and interact with other humans. I just don't care. This is what happens every generation when a big period of change comes in. Like when computers went into, like they used to have this, they used to talk about this shit when they first got electricity. We've all just got to just let go.
Do you remember when they were like all freaking out?
It is not a
when computers went into schools.
Yeah, this is not a hill anyone should be dying on. All of you, let it go. Right, moving on. I can't. I just. Oh,
God. I liked that drink.
Yeah, I can tell you're sucking it down like it was the last one. Oh, there was something. Oh, I was going to give you a medical update.
Oh yes, please.
I went and had my bloods done. Mm-hmm. I went to the endocrinologist. Mm-hmm. And, all my thyroid stuff's really good.
Awesome.
Yes. And she,
that might have something to do with your weight loss too.
Could do. Yeah. Yeah. And she said, no, all your levels. She's like,
I'd like to blame
oh my God, how is your
my systems.
How's your cholesterol? Like, are you on cholesterol medication? I go, no. And she goes, that's your cholesterol? I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh my God.
Like good.
Yeah. Like it's subpar. Yeah. Like really low. And every single...
Don't you need some of it, though?
Every medical professional who looks at it just goes, oh, so you're on cholesterol medication? I go, no, that's just what it does. And they're like, hold on to that. And she just said to me, she said, look, you know, yes, you could lose... She was so great. She's like, yeah, you could lose more weight. And she said, but your blood pressure's fine. Your cholesterol's fine. Your thyroid function is good. She said, really, the only two things left and what you're actually eating in your diet now is pretty good. And because I said everything's pre-COVID and post-COVID, because I was like, hey, what about your carb intake? I said, well, pre-COVID, post-COVID, it's about hourly. And she was like, really, it's just going to come down to exercise, to a bit of movement, and portion size. She goes, that's pretty much it.
Mm.
And she goes, and then if you do actually keep losing some weight, then come back and see me because we might need to change your thyroid meds.
Okay.
So that was good. And then how could I forget Wednesday with the whole dental thing?
Yeah.
I'm like knocked out for an hour in twilight sedation.
There's this thing that they call twilight sedation. And because I've got a really bad, poor Mr. Luke, I've got a very, 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 very sensitive gag reflex.
Yes.
where I can be sometimes vomity.
I actually mentioned that to him last night about his recent purchase for you, and I was like, and how gorgeous it is, it's artwork, people.
Yes.
And I said to him that, I said, and he goes, do you like, did I do good? And I went, oh, I said, yeah. So many blowjobs.
I found this.
I said, so many blowjobs coming your way, Mr. Willig. And he just laughed and he goes, that's a work in progress.
Anyway, because I needed to get some root canal, my dentist sent me to a different dentist because of my, like, he didn't want me to do my gag special effects while he had a drill next to my skull. And so they knocked me out. It's called Twilight Sedation, and it's anything but Twilight. I was knocked out and woke up, like, drooling. But apparently it's just a very light sedation and you can sort of know what's going on. But
I know.
Both of us have had it this year.
It was like a horse tranquilizer.
Yeah. And I was fucked for about a week.
Oh, I was like, I don't really remember leaving the hospital, like the dentist surgery. I remember getting to the car and Rob going to put me in the front. I go, I'll lie down the back. I'll lie down the back. I need you. Give me a jumper or a pillow. Like, I remember that. Got home. He put me to bed. He woke me up because the dentist had said to him every two hours, Panadol and then then Nurofen, Panadol. So he did because he's such a good nurse and he did all that. And then I woke up the next morning and I was like, what? Did I have
the weirdest dream?
And my mouth was all weird. My jaw was so sore because they just had it ranked open for like, and of course one of the temporaries has already fallen off. And I thought I was going to come out with teeth, like with new teeth.
No, they have to measure them.
No, they've just done all the... Anyway, then one fell off yesterday. I'm like, wow, that lasted 3 days. Great. I meant to last another week and
well,
a half.
Well, you know that dentist's wife listens to this.
Yes. I know. I emailed him yesterday going, one of them just fell out while I was eating cake. I'm sure there's a message or some sort of, you know, lesson in that. But anyway, I'm going back in on Wednesday.
Okay, this is a really interesting one and I don't want you to poo-poo this one. Justine, any inspiration for creating a routine for when my kids are back at school? I feel like I just sweep through the house all day waiting for their next request and I'm failing to do the things that I need to do for me. Reading, meditation, exercise. I'm out of work at the moment, so it's hard to get my focus and mojo back. I don't want to fall into a heap when they both return to school and I'm no longer keeping busy looking after full house. I think it's a really common one.
Yeah.
I only just got back into my writing mojo last week.
You did. Curiously, that seemed very related to your two children not being here.
Not being here. I think you'll find it actually much better when they're not home. Because, look, you get up, you get dressed, and you get out. You go and you do your stuff.
Yep.
And it's okay to actually chill out for a bit.
Yeah. But it's been 8 weeks.
Yeah.
No, 10 weeks.
And she's not working anymore, so she's going to have to find something to focus on.
Hang on. So she wants creating a routine for when her kids are both back at school. So that's, I don't know how old your kids are, but once there's school drop-off done or the kids leave, you have to act in that moment. Mm. Otherwise, you'll be sitting on the lounge watching Ellen. So you just have
once
to
Ellen hits on, you go, oh, shit. Oh,
yeah. So you literally, and the other thing is, different meditation works for different people at different times. The only time I get it done is the first, as soon as I get up, is I get up and I go down the back room and I do my 10-minute meditation.
Yeah,
and then
I don't do any more than 10.
It's no. Oh God. And I do a guided meditation because I'm not skilled. Like there's no way I could just sit there and do something myself. I'd fall asleep. So I would do, you have to, and then you treat them. This is something my psychiatrist taught me. You have to treat these different activities like they're an appointment. So like a doctor's appointment or a specialist's appointment or an, you know, like a work meeting or
waxing appointment.
And so waxing appointment. So you have to, and you wouldn't flake on that meeting.
No.
You would go. Mm-hmm. And so the same, and that's what you do with these things. So, you know, you go for a walk or you go to the gym or whatever your exercise is, you do that. Like, and the whole thing about trying to do it at the same time every day is also really, really valuable. And, so that would just be my advice is that use the markers of their day as the markers of your day. So they go to school, you go and do your exercise. You know, they're coming home, you start putting dinner on. Or you just use those pointers, you know. Yeah. And then if they all get up at 7, you get up at 6.
Yeah.
Do your meditation, get the day started.
Yeah. Good advice. Let's keep going. Has anyone tried anything that worked well to drop a stubborn 12 kilos?
Get the great gut ache of 2020. I dropped 8. I dropped 8 kilos.
It's all about what you eat. Sorry.
Yeah, it is.
It's all about what you eat. As much as like...
Exercise is only 20% of it. Yeah, 80% is diet.
80% of your diet. And like, I don't believe in not giving my body what it needs. Because yeah. Sometimes it needs... Like the other day, it needed sweet and sour pork.
Yeah.
So I got it.
Yeah.
But just be careful about how much of it you eat.
Yeah.
So when you start to feel full, stop.
Yeah.
And that's how I lost a significant amount of weight. Without ever going on a diet.
And I think it's such different strokes for different folks.
Oh, yeah.
So I can do the fasting thing from sort of like 8 p.m. until, say, 10 a.m. I can do that block. But to do like a full sort of 24-hour where you only have 800 calories or something.
See,
like,
that doesn't sound healthy.
See, I can't do that. And I think there's a lot of things going on in my body, which is why I can't do that. Like the whole pancreatic function, like to not eat at all and then load food into it is a really bad idea. And then also the thyroid stuff, like it's an autoimmune disease. You can't, like your body just goes, wah, that's terrible. But you've got to work it out. And a lot of people, Kay's here talking about doing the keto diet. And I know a lot of people do the keto diet and cut out carbs. That to me is like, that is such a sadness. That is just sadness and regret. Like, there is no way I could just give up carbs. I just couldn't. Bread is a beautiful thing. Like, bread is one of the foundations of humanity. That's how we started to build cities and tribes and was the whole, you know, domestication of wheat. Like, how can you just look at that thousands of years of history and go, and I'm not eating it anymore.
It's not normal. And if you come to where I live, I'll take you to Indochine, which is the world's best Vietnamese bakery. And you look at those breadsticks and croissants
and like, just go
and tell me that that's not worth a little pudding.
So I just can't come at that. So, but then the flip side of it is stop eating shit. And then the good stuff that you eat, don't eat too much of it. And cut back on the booze.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah, cut back on the booze. Try it from our non-sponsored Good Tides Hard Seltzer because they've only got 85 calories per can. Mm, and I think you'd only need 2 by the feelings of it.
I have done, you know, across my life from when I was seriously in primary school, I have done everything. I have, you know, it's just starvation, not eating this, not eating that, only eating this with that, not eating that with that, doing the whole deprivation, doing the whole...
Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig.
And you know what? Like when I was sitting
The cabbage fart diet. Remember that one?
When I was sitting there with this endocrinologist this week, I said to her, you know, talking to you makes me realise just how much I have fought with food my entire life, even though it brings me such joy. Like, it is my thing. It's what I do. It's I cook and I bake and I feed. But it's my love language.
And it's your job.
And I'm like, and now I'm, and so to try and work that out for, to not be a punishment on myself, like that I've denied it or that then I binge it or.
Like that is an unhealthy relationship.
It's just like, so it's been such a huge, and I know by no means am I there. We just scarfed 2 cheeseburgers together. But mind you, I hadn't had any lunch, so, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I'm not scarfing 2 cheeseburgers every day. So, but in the past, I would have flogged myself about that for a week.
Oh, God, no.
I just think it's just such a hiding to nowhere. And it's not,
there's no formula. There's no.
And one of our groups, Sarah Boykett, is, we actually were journos together. And she retrained and she's now a dietitian. And I did some sessions with her at the end of last year and the beginning of this. And she said to me, you know, her area of specialty is the relationship we all have with food, like, and what we, you know, relate. Yeah. And she said, Kim, I could sit here and tell you, you know, to eat this many calories a day or to cut these things. And she said, but I see you and I know what you do and how much food is part of your life. Like, that's just misery. You'll do it for a minute and then you'll, you know.
And then what's there left to live for?
Yeah. And, you know, what's her advice? Like, smart choices. Hmm. And portion control.
Don't deny yourself when you really, portion
control. And she said, just get out for a walk. And she said, and of course, the endo was like, you know, get your heart rate up. But even Sarah was just like, no, just get out. Mm. Just get out for a walk.
Mm.
And it's just like, I know that 12 kilos because I have it. I'm sitting on it right now, just going, God, it'd be good to get rid of that.
Eileen has got a really, really common one as well. Is anyone else feeling restless and suffering with over-COVID fatigue syndrome? I want to lie down and sleep until it's over instead of living with all this uncertainty, fear, propaganda, and idiocracy. What's that word?
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy in high places. Oh, look, I'm totally 100% on Team Eileen with this. I have gone through, it's been a grief, it's been the four stages of grief, and I'm at the end of the grief road now, so I've used up all my tokens. and it sounds like you still have a fair bit to work through, but I had those days that I didn't want, I just wanted to just wake me up when it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? Well, because obviously you are a worrier. And the first thing I did was turn off the news. I stopped watching.
I was just going to say, just stop watching the news and start finding other things that you enjoy. So
your mind isn't drawn back to that.
Is it music? Is it movies? Is it the garden? Is it baking? Is it just find other things to fill your day? And when you go to turn the news on or to turn, you know, the radio on, just turn music on instead.
Yeah.
And so now we just have. The television is essentially never on, and I put it on this morning because I wanted to see. I put ABC News 24 on because I wanted to see the launch, the latest SpaceX amazingness. Fuck Elon Musk! Like, no matter, like, that man is a very interesting creature, but you have to hand it to him. He's going to have us on Mars in 10 years.
And I think, by the way things are going, I want to be there.
You know that one-way trip to Mars?
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of people going, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Sign me up. Look at that gorgeous sunset out over there.
Oh, no, it's lovely.
There.
Over Chatswood.
Yeah.
Dorothy, 14-year-old with anxiety.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I was going to say was that instead what I got was all of the stuff going on in the States and then all of the protests going on in Israel about Benjamin Netanyahu. So I just went... No.
And Rio Tinto?
And well, we didn't even touch on that, did we?
We'll talk about that next week.
Oh! You didn't tell me about the online spat that you were talking about earlier in the week, and I went, I need to know more about this, and you said, we'll talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, I wrote about it. It's up on the blog.
Oh.
Yeah, so you obviously have been reading that.
Yeah.
14-year-old Dorothy, 14-year-old with anxiety and school refusal, who won't take his anti-anxiety meds. Had a showdown today. God, these kids are killing us. Told him he'd better start going to school without complaining and no more feeling sad. Well, that's not going to work. In the past, constantly missed school from anxiety-induced stomach aches and headaches, also wagged. Okay, just telling him to there's no more feelings of sad.
Yeah, that's not going to work,
that's not going to work, Dorothy. What would you do?
I would first accept that this is going to be a long-term project.
Yeah.
This is not something that's going to turn around this year.
Yeah.
This is, I don't, he's 14, so he must be in year...
8 or 9.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Which is hard anyway.
Yeah. And you've just got to, you're just going to have to, and you're going to have to enlist as many people as you possibly can.
You need to get the school
counsellor,
yeah.
School psychologist, an actual psychologist. It doesn't matter. Find him a support group.
So how I got around it with mine, he was a lot younger though, is that you can't just... It's exposure therapy, which is what a good therapist will talk to you about. So if he can go for an hour one day a week, and then you build up from that. So what I did was I actually had very supportive school teachers, and they gave me an office up at the school. So I would work from the school office, and just knowing that I was there. So the first day I worked for the whole day.
Wow.
The second day I worked till lunchtime, and I did that for about 3 days. And it was just, I mean, it was a pain in the ass for me.
Yeah.
But I knew that unless I was sort of serious about him going, but if you're unable to do that, I would just say to him, like, let's start with these small steps and talk to him and help him, let him be a part of that plan.
Yep. And the other thing to remember here is, And this is the same for Marianne as well. You do not have to do this on your own.
No.
Yes, you are the parent, but you are only one. You are only one spoke in this wheel. What are those two doing out there? What are those shoes on your son?
Oh, I just don't even want to know.
No. So, and you can even go, I would even suggest looking on the Department of Education website. They will have all manner of resources. And I know that I've got two friends who have had children with such severe anxiety, just getting to school ended up being virtually impossible.
Yeah.
But they're...
And it's real, though. It's real.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's nothing... He's not putting that on.
No. Like, he's not doing this to be a pain in the ass.
No. No.
I mean, I'm sure, given the chance, the choice, he would much rather be able to go to school without...
Yeah, and not have any of panic. The... Yeah, it's and not have any of the feelings about it.
It's very unpleasant.
I've got, you know, actually, I've got three friends who have all been in that situation. Mm. And it's just like, so don't... You're not on your own, but you have to be out there fighting for them.
Yeah.
They have to know that you're on their side.
Yeah. And now I look at mine who wouldn't go to school, and now he's in year 11, and he's the most confident person. He can walk into any room,
yeah.
You know, that he wouldn't say boo to a goose. So you put in the hard work now and you will get paid back.
Yeah.
Leanne, I love this. My phone fell from my pocket into my mop bucket while listening to the last podcast. And I confirm you what we've always known. Yes, Mrs. Wugan, Mrs. Berry can talk underwater. The phone did not skip a beat, unlike my heart. I love that. We can talk underwater.
We can. Yeah.
Oh, I like this one too. And I found a thingy on my phone that you can turn on and it skips profanity. So you can watch stuff around kids, etc. My husband quipped that it would that there would be a fair bit of silence when I listened to those hot flusher ladies.
None of it would make sense.
Yeah, it would be like at the...
When?
Are
we taking a break?
Looking forward to it. I find myself, this is from Anna, I love that name. I find myself muttering, yes, yes, exactly. I just disregard the nervous glances from strangers if I'm walking. And there's just a lot of lovely love there from people. Whore pillows brought up again. And the rest is all just lovely.
Oh, Vivian says she's got two whore pillows. Good on you, Vivian.
Lots of talking about ovens. And I think that's it for us this week.
Sweet.
What are you doing this week? What's up? You going to the office?
Well, guess what we're doing tomorrow? We might be buying a car.
This is very exciting news.
The Berry bus.
May it rest.
She's the old girl, has to be...
Retired.
Yeah. 12, almost 13, 13 years. 13 years of hard slog, the old girl. And now there's enough things that are going wrong that it's like... Right.
And now I believe you're looking at a Kia.
Yes, the carnival is over.
Mrs. Jenkins drives one of those, and she does a lot of due diligence when it comes to cars, so I think I'll just go with that.
Every mechanic I've spoken to says that the Korean cars now are what the Japanese cars were, that they're fantastic, they've got such a huge warranty on them, they run on the smell of an oily rag, they bloody, bloody, blah.
So this is the new oven conversation now.
Yeah.
Great.
So we might be getting that to mark our 4 years together, getting a new family wagon.
Oh, good.
Which is pretty hilarious.
Is it going to be called the Berry Bus number 2?
Someone said it had to be called the Biatch.
The Biatch.
See ya.
Bye.
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 Yeah, it had to be called the Biatch, like the Berry Arch of a deal. But I don't know what we'll have to call it.
Well, and it's exciting news anyway.
So we're going to do that. And then we're having a night in the city, having a dirty night in the city. Staying at the Paramount and then going out for dinner at Tokyo Bird, and then I'm going to work the next day.
That sounds like very normal activities.
I know.
Kim.
That's exciting. I know. I'm very excited.
That's exciting. Well, until next week, we hope you.
No, what are you looking forward to?
I'm nothing.
Oh, stop it. No. There must be something.
No.
Nail and toast salon's open this week.
Yes, I'm going to spend.
They're getting those goblin toasties.
Oh, yes, that's something else. That's something else. I'm going to go and spend some time getting everything waxed and put back to as it should be.
Yes.
which is really sad that that's my highlight. But, you know, I'm sure something will pop up.
Something will come up.
Something will pop up. Anyway, you take care out there, as we like to say.
Just keep plucking. Bye.